You know, one of the questions people usually kick off one of these events with is, you know, why did you write the book? And I'm going to give you a chance to answer that question yourself by reading just a couple of passages from the book that I think will give you some idea of what it was that motivated me to pick up a virtual pen. So from the chapter on Condoleezza Rice, Sweetness and Light. Condoleezza Rice became George W. Bush's national security advisor, having directed an oil company, managed a multi-million dollar university, and served as a Sovietologist in Washington during the collapse of the Soviet Union. That's when she didn't see the collapse of the Soviet Union coming, but nonetheless. She was assuming her post, a post in her second Bush administration, the top national security job in the cabinet. Nonetheless, when the New York Times ran a story on the 46-year-old professor, it didn't discuss her views on national security until the 27th paragraph. The subject cropped up near the end of the Times' long feature, which was dominated by talk of her dress size, her hair, her hemline, and her place of birth. "She eats either a bagel or cereal every day for breakfast," wrote the Times. "She's always impeccably dressed, usually in a classic suit with modest hemline, comfortable pumps, and conservative jewelry." The paper of record reported that Rice, who was then provost at Stanford, quote, "keeps two mirrors on her desk, apparently to check the back as well as the front." There's investigative reporting for you. "And oh yes, she has an oil supertanker named after her, a result of being on the Chevron Corporation board." That was it for discussion of Rice and Chevron. So, three guesses why I wrote the book. I was annoyed. I felt that we were being snowed by the right, and we were being completely let down by the rest of the media. Even those in the progressive media, it seemed to me, were not doing their job, and that for the most part, the women of the Bush administration, who were the women that were brought into the cabinet in 2001, Gail Norton, your favorite, Condoleezza Rice, Ann Veneman at Agriculture, Christy Todd Whitman at the EPA, Elaine Chao at Labor, and I also write about Karen Hughes, that while the right was saying this is the kindler, gentler face of the administration, and lest you thought we came to power through thuggery and intend to rule to please the warmongers and the theocrats, well, let us just say, and nothing could be further from the truth, here is the face of multiculti America represented in our cabinet. The right was sending us that message, and to some extent it worked. You just needed to listen to the confirmation hearings of these women, and you heard their personal stories over and over and over again. Why was Elaine Chao qualified to be labor secretary? She'd never worked in any area of labor law. Well, she was qualified because she was an immigrant. She came to this country at age of 8, not knowing a word of English, came from Taiwan. She knew what life was like at the bottom of labor's ladder, and yo, look how far she's come. That was the story told over and over again at her confirmation hearings. And I say, you know, the only dispute was whether she embodied the American dream or simply symbolized the American dream. That was the major point of contention. What qualified her was her personal history. To my mind, then she could have been labor secretary at the age of 8. What has been so useful to the administration ever since is that she, with that personal history, or the story that we think we know because so many stereotypes come along with it, and that's where sexism in our media and racism plays out, that we think we know what that immigrant story is, having been given just a few details, that she's then the ideal person to head up the W Stands for Women campaign in 2004, where she toured the country talking about how Bush's tax policy and labor policy was a boon for women. Flex time for women workers. Sounds great. The Family Time Flexibility Act is what the White House was supporting. Sounds fantastic. Flex time, right? Turns out all the flexibility was in the hands of the employer, and what the law they was, what the bill they were backing actually proposed was changing overtime rules in a way that went to the heart of our labor law, the Fair Labor Standards Act, the law that sets maximum hours and minimum wages. In the name of flex time for women workers, they were making a bold attack on basic labor law on which this country depends. Elaine Chao was the perfect person to front that. Condoleezza Rice, how perfect to have Condoleezza Rice be the face of the campaign to take action in Iraq. She called it bringing democracy to Baghdad as we brought democracy to Birmingham. That's what she told the people of the National Black Journalists Association. I don't think Dick Cheney would have gotten away with that. If people only know one part of her story, they just know she grew up in Alabama during the civil rights years. Then she can talk about herself as some kind of symbol of the civil rights history of our country, and without due attention to her actual political and professional record, for example, at the Chevron Corporation, where she was on the board for 10 years as they were killing civil rights activists and human rights activists in Nigeria, without that piece of the picture, she can get away with it. And again, racism and sexism plays in, because when we look at her, we don't see oil man. Dick Cheney travels around the country. You can see the Halliburton contract sprouting out of his ears. She tours around, and it's a little bit of a different picture. You know the White House is in trouble. Whenever the Bush women are brought out front, it's because something's bad back at home.